You know, I don't get the chance to go to the movies much, but when I do, my favorite part of going to the movies, maybe like some of you, is actually watching the trailers before the movie starts. You know, each trailer, they try to sell you that this upcoming movie, it's going to be worth the wait, it's going to be worth your time, and it's going to be worth the cost. And if that trailer is good enough, chances are, in about 6 months, you'll go see that movie. In today's gospel, Jesus is giving us a preview of what is to come on Easter Sunday. In today's gospel, we hear the story of the Transfiguration, in which Jesus reveals his divinity to three of his disciples. He shows them that although he is going to die on Good Friday, he will resurrect. He shows them that waiting for him, following him, is worth the time, the wait, and the cost. Now, before we start in on the gospel, there's a few things that help us understand this gospel a little bit more. A little background to this story. As you remember, Jesus takes his 12 apostles and goes up to Caesarea Philippi, and he asks them the Gallup poll question, "Who do people say that I am?" And Peter gets it right. Peter says, "You are the Son of God. You are the Christ." And then Jesus tells them, he must go to Jerusalem and die. And what was Peter's response? "Lord, forbid that should happen to you." See, Peter didn't want Jesus to die. Peter, especially being here on top of Mount Tabor and the Transfiguration, Peter wants the resurrection without the Good Friday. He wants the rewards of heaven without the toils of the earth. He wants Easter Sunday without Good Friday. The crown without the cross. And isn't that like each and every one of us at times? "Lord, I'll follow you. We see that you could do miracles, that you've multiplied loaves, you've walked on water. And we'll follow you as a disciple as long as you can do cool things for us. But now you're going to go die. I don't know if we could follow you that far. I don't know if discipleship is going to be that costly. I don't know if I could do it, Lord." But in order to distill hope in the disciples, Jesus gives them a sneak peek, a preview of what his resurrection is going to be like. He gives them hope. And as they are on top of the Mount of Tabor, this hope is so good, and Peter sees this, and he says, "You know, Lord, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents. Let us stay on top. Let all those people below, let them suffer. We're here in the glory." And isn't that a temptation we all face? That we want to bask in the glory of God, but not pick up our cross and follow him. And so I may propose to you three different ways in the gospel today in how we could follow Jesus even down to the valley of the shadow of death. What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? And first, the Transfiguration, it shows us, are we willing to climb the mountain of God? You know, throughout the Bible, we see important events that happen on top of the mountain. But in order to get on top of the mountain, men like Moses, men like Elijah, who we read today, in order to get on top of that mountain to receive the gift from God, they had to climb it. Moses climbed the mountain of Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments. Elijah went on top of the mountain to pray and receive the prophecy from God. We too must climb the mountain of God in the spiritual life. Just as the disciples, they walked 6 days down from Caesarea Philippi down to the base of Mount Tabor. And Jesus leaves the 9 behind and he brings with them, okay, I'll take Peter, John, you can go, and James. You ever wonder, why does he choose those 3? Why are those 3 his favorite? Peter, as you recall, he was the first pope. And John, he's kind of the beloved disciple. And James was the first one to be martyred, the first one to shed his blood for Jesus. So Jesus wants to give them the hope the greatest. So he takes those 3 on top, and they spend all day climbing 1,900 feet to the top of the mountain. That would be like if you left here and you walked 6 days down to Front Royal. And then once you got to Shenandoah National Park, you decided to climb all day up Hawksbill Peak to get on top of the summit. Why would anyone spend their energy hiking for 6 days and then on the 7th day climb to the top of the mountain? What's our obsession with going to the top of the mountain of God? Mountains, if you've ever been on top of a mountaintop, they teach us that you could leave all your cares behind, that you could get a sense of fresh air, that you could see the extension of God's creation below you. It's almost a transcendent event. You're outside of reality on top of a mountaintop. But we know that getting to the top of that mountain is not always easy. It's difficult. And to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, we must climb the mountain of God. That is the first step. And what does that mean, climbing the mountain of God? It means daily fidelity to your prayer life, faithfulness to your vocation in the small things, daily living out the Christian life. And if you've ever fallen on a mountain, you know it can cause a lot of pain if you've slipped on some rocks. So too, in the Christian life, when we sin, we fall while trying to climb the mountain of God. But that is why, especially this Lent, I encourage you, if you've fallen by climbing the mountain of God, to take the opportunity to meet Christ in the sacraments of confession, to ask Him for forgiveness of your sins. So the first step is climbing the mountain of God is the first step of being a disciple. Secondly, we must be able to rest. Rest in the glory of God on top of the mountain. Our culture is so obsessed with work, work, work. We forget that although we are made to work, we are made to also rest. And in the Jewish tradition, this feast, the Transfiguration, it happened during the Feast of Booths, in which the Jewish people, they would go and they would build tents in their front yard. And they would stay in their tents for 6 days in order to remember that they spent 40 years, their ancestors spent 40 years in the desert. They were living in a tent. And this was their way of resting. And while they were in the desert, even though they were wandering, the presence of God was with them. The presence of God called the tabernacle, the Greek word for God's presence, God's dwelling. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you don't have to go out and build a tent in your front yard, although that would be kind of countercultural. But we are called to rest and come here each and every Sunday. And that's why you bring me so much hope. Because as the world tells you that Sunday's a day to go shopping, to sleep in, to watch football or baseball, I guess is the night season now. But the culture tells you that this time is for you and not for God. But when we give this time to God, when we rest with God, our week has purpose. And the glory of God comes to dwell with us here in the tabernacle. So at each and every Mass is a transfiguration event. When we read the Gospels, when we hear the first and second reading, it's as though the voice of God on top of Mount Tabor says to us, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." And in the Eucharist, when the priest, he breaks the bread and says, "Behold the Lamb of God," it is as though we are seeing the glory of God. It is a foretaste that we will experience the fullness of glory in heaven. So to be a disciple on the Mount Tabor, we must first climb the mountain of God. Secondly, we must rest. Rest with him on top. And finally, we must descend down below. As good as it is that you are all here, and as much as Father Saunders and Father Scheer enjoy seeing your bright faces, you can't stay here. You must go back to your homes. You must go to your families, your friends, your neighbors, your workplace. You must share with them the glory of God that you have come to receive here. You must descend down the mountain of God in order to bring the glory of God to a culture that does not know him. And St. Irenaeus, he once said, "The glory of God is man fully alive." You've come here to receive Jesus Christ so that you may become fully alive. And then you are to go down that mountain to share that glory with those people that do not know him. So in conclusion, we know that Lent is not just about the Good Friday, but it is about the glory of God on Easter Sunday. And being a disciple of Jesus Christ, it shows us that he is worth the wait, the time, and the cost of discipleship.